Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew, chapter 8. We'll continue our lessons from the book of Matthew. The theme of the book of Matthew is, now the theme is the king and his kingdom. The king and his kingdom. There are two key verses. Now, you could probably come up with more, but there are two key verses. The first is Matthew 2:2 saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." It's so important that we have come to worship our Lord. And then Matthew 4:17 is the other key verse. "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Down through the centuries, men of God have proclaimed, "Repent." And of course, man just eagerly does this. And we know that's not so. Maybe even today, there's one of you that needs to repent. The good news of the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 20. "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I am glad that there is one that has paid the price for my sins. Would you please stand if you're able as we read from the book of Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. "When he was come down from the mount, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, 'See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.'" Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, not only to be here and to sing the songs of praise and to give an offering, but Lord, to read from your holy word. And Lord, we are so glad that you were not afraid of the touch of the leper. Have your hand upon us this day. Protect us, we pray, in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Matthew chapters 1 through 4 show the person of the king. Matthews 5 through 7, we have the principles of the king as given to us in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapters 8 and 9, we have the power of the king. It may be noted the king who does not have power to accomplish anything, that what good are his credentials and his principles? In chapters 8 and 9, Matthew reported 10 miracles. In the Old Testament, God used men as the instruments in the performing of miracles. Moses, Elijah, Elisha. But now, Jesus Christ, coming in what is the New Testament, is the one who is performing these miracles. These miracles were sermons in action, and he was performing it. And they revealed his compassion on individuals and also on even whole groups of people, like in the feeding of the 5,000. May I say this, Jesus did not perform miracles just to gather a crowd, though it did gather crowds. For if you use miracles to get people, you have to use miracles to keep people. But we find here grace to the outcast. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ loved this man who had leprosy? Aren't you glad that he didn't look at him and say, oh, man, I can't even touch you. Go away, leave me alone. No, the Lord reached out to the outcast. Be it this leopard or be it the woman at the well, he reached out to those in need. In verse 1, Jesus has come down from the mount after teaching those in attendance. And those that were there and hearing him were astonished at his doctrine. He taught them as one having authority. But here in verse 2, behold, there came a leper. I would like you in your mind's eye, I want you to ponder this. The leper, as he approached people, had to declare, unclean, unclean, for he had a dread disease. And in your mind's eye, do you see Jesus in the crowd? And there comes one crying out, unclean. May I say this, before we're saved, we're all spiritual lepers. Before we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are all sick spiritually. And see in your mind that there were those who began to murmur because they're saying, oh man, we were having such a good time and this sinner is coming here. This leper has come here. Oh, he's gross. Now we're not told what he had lost already, because leprosy would remove earlobes and noses and fingers and toes. They would wrap them so that people could not see what had happened to that body. In your mind's eye, do you see him coming, worshiping the Lord? He knows who Jesus Christ is. Maybe he had heard of him from before, we're not told, but he says, if thou wilt. When it comes to our spiritual need, our Lord will. Our spiritual needs are something that he is great at taking care of. Now, yes, in this case, he would heal him physically. But what's more important, that someone is healed physically or that someone is healed spiritually? Yes, it's great when somebody is healed physically. I heard again of someone who had cancer. Don't you hate that word? I hate it. And I remember praying that Donna's dad would overcome the cancer. But he didn't. I remember my mother had the cancer, and we as a group, as a church, we prayed for her. And she said, I'll be healed one way or the other. Well, he didn't heal her on this side of the grave. I remember praying for Donna's mother, praying that she would be healed. You've prayed for people. You prayed for people who had illnesses or sicknesses, and some of them were taken. And you say, Lord, why? But what's more important, that he heals them spiritually? See, one out of one does what? Dies. One out of one. We're going to die. You're headed for a casket. I've told you before, my wife can go over here to ABC Warehouse and just get a water cooler box. Not a water cooler, a hot water heater box. Put me in it. You can call, come in, write on it, telling about how much you love me. Okay? You know, if you save the one next door, because our neighbors just put one in. We used to have a man here, the one that made the cross. He made his own coffin and kept it in his house. His wife wasn't too excited about that. Yes. But spiritually, are you still a leper? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? This leper comes, and I guarantee you the people, they parted the way because they didn't want it. They parted the way. Leper colonies. The leper crying out, unclean, unclean. It gives us an example of the fact that we live in a society that's unclean. We cannot expect ABC and NBC and CBS to be the testimony for Christ. We can't expect the 24-hour news stations to call for Christ's redemption. That job is for the church. That job is for God's people. But the leper worshiped the Lord and then asked him to heal him. One did not voluntarily touch a leper. Yet we read that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Do you think that as the people were watching Jesus, as this leper came near and he stops and he worships the Lord, and as Jesus reached out and he touched the leper, do you think there was a gasp? Do you think people said, "Oh, what's he doing?" We as sinners need to worship the Lord and ask him to heal us spiritually. And I do believe this, that once one has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they still need to regularly ask him to forgive him of their sins. Not to be saved again, but because we sin every day. You do sin every day, don't you? Please make me feel good. We that have been blessed to attend a gospel preaching church have heard the Romans Road challenge that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In this society where preaching doesn't want to offend anybody, people still need to be reminded that they're sinners. We read that the wages of sin is death. And I know we don't want to hurt anybody's feeling that someone could go to hell, but the fact of the matter is we're all headed towards hell until we find Christ as our Savior. All of us. And then from Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were still leprous, spiritually dead souls, Christ died for us. And verse 3 says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Yes, it would be great if I could heal you. It would be marvelous. Can you imagine? We'd have standing room only. We could sell tickets. Because people would flock here to see me heal people, but I don't have any healing power. The only thing I can do is declare the one who can heal you spiritually. That can heal you. Can you imagine what this leper did once he was healed? The first thing he'd want to do is go home, right? And do what? Tell his family. And yet Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Just go to the priest and show him and do what it's told in the Old Testament law. But may I say this, we that are healed spiritually, we should want to tell. Want to tell. S.J. Henderson wrote a song in our songbook, Saved by the Blood. You probably know it. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Now ransomed from sin and a new world begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son, saved by the blood of the crucified one. And then the chorus, glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. How often we gather together here and we sing the songs of praise and we listen, but the question is, have you taken the opportunity to come and say, Lord, I know that I am spiritually dead. In your mind's eye, do you see the people as this leper is healed saying, wow, that's amazing. Have you ever seen someone who's been gloriously saved? My wife's aunt, Phyllis, lived with Donna off and on through her, Donna's childhood. She was a, would you say, a gruff-looking person? She pretended to be gruff, didn't she? She would become a lawyer, and I probably used that. But Donna's aunt, Phyllis, was a lesbian. And she said, well, that's my lifestyle. But then she found out she had cancer. She knew she was sick. She lived out in Colorado City. And she called Donna and she said, I need to talk to someone about my soul. So Donna found a pastor there in Colorado City at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Pardon? Colorado Springs. Just get the city right. Colorado Springs. You been to Colorado Springs? Garden of the Gods. The bridge that goes over, was it Canyon? Canyon Gorge. Royal Gorge. Let's get that right, too. It's like 1,200 feet above the river, and there's a sign right in the middle that says, no fishing. There's a train that runs underneath the bridge, and I think it's because they think if you throw a hook out, you might get the train. And so Jim Carroll and his wife Sally went and visited in Denver, because she was up in the hospital in Denver now. From Colorado City, Colorado Springs up to Denver is about an hour and 15 minutes. They drove up there, and she would tell Brother Carroll preacher jokes, and he would tell her lawyer jokes. And they began to testify. They began to show her what she needed to do to be saved. And what did she become? Gloriously saved. Her partner was offended and said, you can't do this to me. Well, when you get saved, there's a change, folks. There's a change. She wanted to know if she could go out on visitation. I mean, you know, how could she go out on visitation? She'd been a sinner. Well, aren't we all sinners? Yes. Aren't you glad you're saved? And if you've never been saved, you can be saved today. She got baptized, got involved. She's like that spiritual leper, physical leper. And she got things made right. How about you? Is there something in your life today that needs to be changed? Maybe you've accepted him as your Savior, but you've never left a certain sin behind. And you're constantly justifying it or giving excuses. Boy, I tell you what, aren't we good at giving excuses? Yes. But we serve one that can save us. And once he has saved us, he can keep us. Gloriously saved. I can only imagine what it was like for this man to come. You think he would have been embarrassed? Hello? You think he'd been embarrassed? He was a leper, for Pete's sake. He'd been wrapped up in clothes so to hide his condition. Do you realize how many people in this room right now you're hiding your condition? But the Lord knows about it. And he loves you anyways. Do you realize there's nothing you can do to make the Lord love you more? And there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He loves you. Shall we stand together? 401 is our song of invitation. Only trust him. Have you trusted him? Can you see this leper coming? He's trusting that the Lord will heal him. May I say this, you can trust the Lord to heal you spiritually today. Because none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. We could read tomorrow in the news that as you were heading home from church today, someone coming at you was texting. And they crossed the yellow line and they hit you head on. You've no guarantee. You could be going to your favorite restaurant and some nutcase with a rifle with lots of ammunition wants to make a name for himself. You have no guarantee. But if you can come to Jesus Christ and ask him to save your soul, you can count on that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day as we've been witness to the baptism. And as we've looked into the Holy Word and seen this one that was healed, Lord, we just pray that you would have your hand upon those that are here today who need healing. Physical healing, yes, but spiritual healing more. And Lord, we ask that the Spirit would move and touch hearts, asking that your will would be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.